Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. I want to read from this. Begin with verse 1. I'll read through verse 6. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Telling of the attempt of Satan to devour the child Jesus, the seed of the woman, when he was born. Turning to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I'll read verses 13 through 16. Galatians 3. Beginning with verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Attention is called here to the promises of God, which are offered, extended to the Gentiles. These promises were made to Abraham and to his seed. Now we have the word seed in the singular and in the plural. Times when the word seed used in the plural refers to the children of Israel. Other times, the word seed in the plural refers to the Christians of this day, that is, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we read in the latter part of the 16th verse that here the word seed is singular, speaks of one, and that one is the Christ. All of the promises which God made to Abraham can also be the Gentiles if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it seemed good that this morning that we talk about the seed which is Christ. If you can grasp part of that which I hope to give you this morning, you should have an overall picture of the Word of God. Now in Genesis 3:15, we have the first reference to the seed, which is Christ. With your indulgence, I'll read 14 and then 15. This is Jehovah, the Christ, in the Garden of Eden, talking to Adam, Eve, and Satan, after the sin which had come into the garden through the instigation of Satan incarnate in the serpent. And the Lord God, that is Jehovah, the Christ, the second person of the Godhead, said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So far as I've been able to ascertain, this is the only curse ever pronounced by God that has no hope of being lifted. The curse upon the serpent continues forever and ever and ever. The expression in the Revelation says there shall be no more curse. Has no reference to that upon the serpent. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now he's talking to Satan, who is in the serpent. We read further on in the 12th chapter of the Revelation, from which I read a few moments ago, that Satan is the old serpent. He's the dragon. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's Lucifer. Satan in the serpent. Now, I'll put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Many things are pointed out here. Enmity between Satan and the woman. The woman in the singular, we know to be Mary. Woman in the plural, we know to be the children of Israel. There's a God-placed enmity between Satan and Mary, a God-placed enmity between Satan and Israel. The occasion of Satan's enmity toward the woman and her seed is to be found in the prophecy that the seed of the woman was going to bruise or literally crush his head. Jehovah, here at the dawn of history, speaking to Satan, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Her seed is going to crush your head one day. He learns here at the very beginning that his mortal enemy is the seed of the woman. It's interesting to note, ere we pass on, that Satan himself is to have a seed. Satan is to have a seed. The woman is to have a seed. We know from subsequent history, as revealed in the Bible, that the seed of the woman, as we read from Galatians, is Jesus the Christ. We learn also from further study of the Scripture that the seed of Satan, commonly referred to as the Antichrist, a person, a real person, the seed of Satan. But here begins the conflict between Satan and God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created them perfect. He did not create the heavens and the earth waste and void. He created them to be inhabited. He created an anointed cherub, gave him dominion over the heavens and the earth. This anointed cherub, the most beautiful of all of God's creation, the wisest of all of God's creation, aspired, first of all, to be like God. Then his aspiration led him to higher ambitions. He wanted to be above God. And when he expressed the desire to be exalted above God, then he forfeited his position as the one having dominion over the heavens and the earth. But he continued in office, in power and authority, until one qualified to supplant him or to take his place. In due season, God created man in the likeness of his own image and gave him dominion over the heavens and the earth. He would take the fallen cherub's place. He would have the dominion over the heavens and the earth. But Satan, through subtlety, came into the garden, caused the man to sin. And when Adam sinned, he forfeited his position or his right to rule and to reign over the heavens and the earth, disqualified himself by virtue of his sin. And Satan continued in power. Here in the presence of fallen and disqualified man, Satan hears the prophecy from Jehovah that the seed of the woman was going to supplant him, displace him, and take his place. No sooner does Satan hear this prophecy that the seed of the woman shall crush thy head, then Satan begins to plan and scheme, first of all, to keep the seed of the woman from being born. Now, the one sentence that tells you of the content of the Old Testament is this: Satan's attempt to prevent the seed of the woman from being born. That's the Old Testament. Now, soon after this, Eve conceived and brought forth a son, and she called him Abel. I called him Cain, because she thought that the prophecy of God concerning her seed had been fulfilled. She had heard Jehovah say, "You will have a child," and this child, she thought, would be the one that would crush the head of the serpent. So when this child was born, she called him Cain, which literally means, "I have gotten a man, even Jehovah." That's the literal meaning of the word, "I have gotten a man, even Jehovah." She thought he was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Later on, another son was born, Abel. Manifestly, Satan observed these two closely. And through the passage of time, he saw one manifesting characteristics of God, a nature different to the other. He saw God accept one's sacrifice, reject the other's sacrifice. And he knew before much time had passed that Abel was the one through whom the seed was coming. And he determined and resolved within himself that he would do away with Abel. And Satan put it into the heart of Cain to slay his brother Abel. And he slew Abel. And when Jehovah asked Abel concerning Cain concerning Abel's whereabouts, Cain replied, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord replied that his blood's, plural, his blood crieth out to me from the ground. Some 4,000 years later, another's blood cried out to God the Father, even that blood which was shed on Calvary's cross. But Jehovah said to Cain, "His blood crieth out to me." And we will not follow Cain's history, but recall that God gave Eve another seed by the name of Seth. And it was through Seth then that the seed was to come. As the human race began to multiply, Satan always keeping in mind that somehow or other he must resolve, determine to prevent the seed from being born, saw the earth being filled with human beings, many of them serving the Lord and many of them not serving the Lord, conceived of this nefarious scheme, and many fallen angels who had left heaven with the anointed cherub of Satan took upon themselves the form of men and intermarried with the daughters of men. And this strange intermarriage, Jude tells us, of two different kinds of flesh. There was the flesh of the human being represented by the daughters of men. In the book of Jude, the flesh of these angels is referred to as heterodox flesh, or flesh of a different nature. And the mixture of that ungodly alliance between the fallen sons of God, or these fallen angels, and the daughters of men produced a race of monstrosities call Nephilim or giants. And that spread so rapidly that we read here in the 6th chapter of Genesis, it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto him, that the sons of God, these are fallen angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So God determined that he would destroy all human flesh from off the face of the earth. It was Satan's vain thought and attempt that if he could pollute the bloodstream of the human race to such an extent that the seed could not be born, then he would continue in power as the one having dominion over the heavens and the earth. But we read in verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God spared Noah and his family from that strange intermixture produced by the fallen sons of God in this unholy alliance with the daughters of men. And so God Almighty sent the flood to cleanse the earth. He destroyed every human being off the face of the earth except Noah and his wife, and his three sons and their wives. He destroyed them all. An interesting thing in that connection is to be found in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Reading verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Put to death in the flesh, during which time his spirit went to be with God the Father, his body into the mausoleum of Joseph of Arimathea, and his soul down into Sheol, or in the Hades. But then he was quickened by the Spirit and raised from the dead. And after that, by which, the Spirit which quickened him, by which he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Much confusion has existed on account of the expression of Christ going and preaching to the spirits in prison. Many think that Christ went down and preached to those who were in Sheol or in Hades and preached the gospel to them, gave them another opportunity to be saved, but he's not talking about that at all. In the first place, he went and preached unto spirits. No place do we find spirits used of men. Men, the one lone exception being the 12th chapter of Hebrews, where we read of the spirits of just men made perfect, a slight reference to the Old Testament saints. But these spirits are in prison. Man is not in prison, saved or lost. Jude tells us that those who were disobedient in the days of Noah are now in chains in darkness. That's the prison of which he's speaking. And Christ went down to those spirits in prison and made an announcement. Now, what announcement do you think he would make to the spirits of these fallen sons of God, commingling with the daughters of men, to pollute the human bloodstream so that the seed cannot be born? I think the announcement he went and made to them was that everything they did was for naught, because in due season he was born. He did atone for the sins of the world, was buried, resurrected, ascended on high, had gained the victory, and that he was triumphant. He went and announced that to the spirits in prison. Now, after the flood, with Noah and his three sons, we remember that Shem was one of the sons. And the blessing upon him was a blessing upon his God. Blessed be Jehovah, the Elohim of Shem. And it's through Shem that the spiritual blessings were coming to the world. So we have God calling out Abraham, a descendant of Shem. And so through Abraham is the seed going to come. The call of Abraham was for the guarantee of the seed. And we read then of Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons, and then of Judah being the one. But when God calls Abraham out and makes it known that through him is coming the seed, then Satan centers his attack upon Abram. And in the days of famine, when Abram go down into Egypt for help, Satan puts it into the heart of Abraham to lie to Pharaoh concerning his wife, Sarah. Abraham said, "Sarah, thou art a beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh sees thee, beholding thy beauty, he'll kill me and take you." Now, when Pharaoh asked who you are, you just tell him you're my sister. She was a half-sister. But don't tell him you're also my wife. And then he'll spare me and you'll have me. You know how much I love you, and I'm just doing this because I love you so you'll not be robbed of me and all the blessings that I can give you. I'm just doing it for your sake, Sarah. And he wasn't mindful at all of his own neck. It was Sarah. Well, the point here was, Pharaoh saw her, and Pharaoh took her. Satan thought if he could get Pharaoh to take her and take her unto himself as his wife, then the seed could not be born, because the only one through whom the seed was coming, which was Sarah. God had said that through Abram and Sarah, that he would bring sin into Sarah's life and the seed would not be born. But God moved upon Pharaoh and protected Sarah and kept her clean and sinless. Pharaoh heaped reproach upon Abram. Pharaoh heaped reproach upon Abram because of the deceit. But Satan failed in that attempt. Then Isaac was born, you know, a special creation of God. Jacob was born, a special creation of God. And God perpetuating the line through which the seed was coming, because God's prophecy was that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of Satan. And so the children of Israel came into existence. And as they came into existence, they're sent down into Egypt. And while they're in Egypt, suffering, hardship, privation heaped upon them, Pharaoh, under the instigation of Satan, trying to do away with the children of Israel. Satan thought he had gotten over a master stroke which would prevent the seed from being born, when he moved upon Pharaoh to issue a decree that every male child born to the Hebrew women would be slain. If that was done, then the seed could not be born because the line would have been broken, which had been prophesied by God. But God Almighty again moved in miraculous power and preserved the children of Israel and preserved the seed and in due season gave them deliverance from Egypt and brought them out around the country. And as God had kept them, ministered unto them, one day God made the announcement that through David the seed was coming. I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Satan could hear of God's plans and know of God's plans when God announced them. He could not read of them or know of them until they were announced. But in 2 Samuel, we read of David's desire to build a house for God. David was living in a palatial mansion, the palace of the king. And as he sat there one day thinking upon eternal verities, the thought came to him that the Ark of the Covenant, that which was symbolic of the presence of the Lord, was housed in a tent. And here he, just king of Israel, in this palatial mansion. And so he said to Nathan, Nathan, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build God a house. It's wonderful to find people who condescend to do things for the Lord. You know, Brother Wilson, I decided I'm going to live for the Lord. Oh, brother, isn't that something? When God Almighty made you, sustained you, and keep you, and you're the goal toward which you're moving, I'm going to do this for the Lord. And so Nathan reported to the Lord what David was going to do, and God said, you tell David, he's not going to build me a house. You tell David that I will make a house out of him. Let's read here. Beginning in the latter part of verse 11. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now here's a prophecy of God, that out of the very bowels of David is going to come the seed. That reason we read of him being the prince of the house of David. Here's the prophecy. And when God tells Nathan this, Satan can hear him. And Satan knows what's going to happen. I'll establish his kingdom, building a house for my name, establish his throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. There's a mixture there between a human being, which is in the picture, and also the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. And according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So, Satan knows now that of all the people on the face of the earth, David is the one through whom the seed is coming. And so Satan begins to center his attacks upon David. The enmity that Saul has for David, the many, many attempts of Saul to take David's life, instigated by Satan to have David killed. There's that occasion when Saul grabs his javelin and tries to kill David. Saul forsakes his throne and the affairs of state and begins to run all over the country trying to catch David. He runs after him here and he runs after him there. God protects him. God takes care of him. Satan trying to do away with David, because the seed is going to come through David. And if he can have David killed, the seed will not be born, and Satan will continue to reign over the heavens and the earth. There comes a day when Satan moves upon David's son, Absalom. And his own son, Absalom, stirs up a rebellion against David, violates the sanctity of David's home, and draws off enough people after him to bring about a rebellion that causes David to have to flee for himself. David, being sought by the enemy, Satan thinks he have David put to death. But the Lord continues to watch over and protect and to keep David. To David were born children. God designates through which one the seed is going to come. Now, with the death of David and accession of Solomon, then upon David's death, the accession of Rehoboam in the south and Jeroboam in the north, we have the kingdom divided. And then we have the two books of the kings. The kings and the chronicles. They tell of conflicts between kings. Or conflicts here and conflicts there. The conflict is an attempt to kill the heir to the throne through whom the seed is coming. There was a day in the history of Israel when Jehoram was only one alive of the royal line, and it was him through whom the seed was to come. The seed there of Jehoram was Athaliah, a daughter, that is, the daughter of Ahijah, who was his seed, and then Athaliah's son, Joash. And as we come down through the line, attempts made at every turn to kill the one through whom the seed is coming. Then one day we come to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, lying upon the bed of sickness, is informed by the Lord, "Set your house in order. You're going to die." Hezekiah knew something. Hezekiah knew he couldn't die. Hezekiah was the one through whom the seed was to come. And Hezekiah had no heir. Hezekiah was childless. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and besought the Lord for an extension of his life. Now Hezekiah had a basis for praying for an extension of life. I've had people try to use Hezekiah with me to prove that every man's days are not numbered. And they said, "Look at Hezekiah, his days weren't numbered." To which I replied, the obvious, of course his days were numbered. God Almighty couldn't have added 15 years to them unless they were numbered. Unless there was an end to them, he couldn't add 15. But Hezekiah knew that he had to live and beget a child. So he said, "Lord, extend my days." And God extended his days. 15 years. 4 years afterward, Manasseh was born to Hezekiah, through whom the seed was to come. God Almighty preserved and kept that line intact. And one day an angel of the Lord appeared unto a descendant of David by the name of Mary. And this angel of the Lord told her, "Fear not, thou hast found favor with God. You're going to conceive and bring forth a son. That holy thing which is begotten in thee is of the Holy Spirit of God." That holy thing. And so to Mary was given the word that she would be the human vehicle through whom the seed at last would be born. Can you imagine the joy that spread throughout the land when word was made known that the promised seed of the Garden of Eden would soon be born? Well, Satan was not ignorant of all of these things. And Satan put it in the heart of her betrothed, Joseph, to have her put to death. He, thinking for a moment that she had been untrue and become involved with some other man. And the law of Moses was that both she and her guilty partner would be taken out and stoned to death. Satan thought if he could move on Joseph to have her stoned to death, in the slaying of her would be the slaying of the unborn seed already conceived. This was his last attempt to keep the seed from being born. Here we have the culmination of the whole of the Old Testament. But Joseph was a good man, moved upon by God, and he would not have her made a public spectacle. He would put her away privately. He would not have her executed, nor would he have her shamed in public. He would put her away privately. And one day, the glad announcement was made that the seed of the woman had been born. The one who's going to crush Satan's head was now in existence. Satan now, not able to prevent the seed from being born, starts the beginning of two great movements which unfold in the New Testament. We'll not go into those this morning, but I'll call them to your attention. Satan, first of all, starts a movement against the seed himself. Satan then spends a good deal of time all through the Gospels trying to kill the seed himself. His first attempt was through Herod, when Herod sent down to Bethlehem to have all the male children slain. Satan thought he would get the seed slain there. Many, many other instances. But the Lord is triumphant. The Lord is triumphant. Satan thought that with Christ in the tomb, if he could seal it and put a Roman guard to keep Christ from coming out, then he would have a victory over the seed. But God delivered Jesus Christ from the grave. And now with the ascension of Christ into heaven, where Satan cannot get at him, he begins the second movement of the New Testament, which is to center his attack upon the church are upon the Christians. And now Satan, having failed in his attempt to keep the seed from being born, having failed in his attempt to slay the seed, now Satan is trying to delay or even prevent his return. Because when Christ returns, and he's finished the work of the millennium, then Satan will be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. There be tormented day and night forever and ever, and the Lord Jesus Christ reigning supreme. Now in Galatians, we're told that the promises to Abraham are ours, who once were Gentiles, through the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. They come to us after this manner, after this fashion. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the promise is that every spiritual blessing in the heavens, every promise extended to any of the people of God, now or ours, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless this hour of meditation, fellowship, to thine honor and glory. Let us pause a moment to thank thee for the seed of the woman that has conquered and is conquering and shall conquer and shall establish that kingdom of which there will be no end. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.